Shall we turn now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, as Jesus teaches us on the subject of prayer. And when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him. Now, after this manner should you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice that Jesus makes the assumption that we would pray. For prayer is as natural to a child of God as is breathing. So over and over he said, and when you pray, and when you pray, and when you pray, the assumption always being that as a child of God, surely you do pray. But in instructing us in prayer, he gives us, first of all, a couple of negatives. When you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrite who prays on the street corners or in the synagogues in order to be seen of men. There are those who pray to impress people, and their desire in prayer is more the impression that they have upon people than the impression that they have upon God. They do it in order to be seen of men. Now, there is something extremely wicked and perverse in my own nature, where I desire that people would think of me as a deeply spiritual person. There is something about my old rotten flesh that sort of enjoys the fact that people think that I am deeply spiritual. And when people say, oh, Chuck is so spiritual, he walks so close to God, man, I just really eat that up. I love people to think that about me. But that's so horrible. And because I want people to think that about me, there is a danger of becoming a hypocrite, of, you know, just sort of doing those sort of spiritual things in front of them. So they say, oh, I knew he was spiritual. Look, you know. Look how he closes his eyes, you know. Just, oh, you know, just the very way he looks, he's so spiritual, you know. And that's a danger that we have of trying to make an impression on people. The Lord says, don't do that. Don't, through prayer, seek to impress people. The purpose of prayer isn't to impress people. The purpose of prayer is to impress God. And the hypocrites, as they pray, they are doing it to make a show before people. Now, there is a great danger in public prayers. You know, I have had many times where when I heard someone pray, I thought, hey, they're praying to me. I mean, they're trying to impress me with their prayer. They're trying to get a message across to me. So many times when I'm in a church and they're praying before the collection is taken, as they are making that collection prayer. Now, Lord, you know that if we don't get enough off money this week, we're going to have the lights turned off, you know. And Lord, your work can't go on unless we get enough money in the offering today. And so, Lord, please provide in the offering today, you know, so we can keep this work going and all. And they're not really praying to God. They're praying to the people and saying, hey, dig down and really get the bucks out today, you know, because we're in trouble. That's why we always pray after the offering is taken, so that we won't be tempted to pray to people. But we just thank God for what's come in and know that when God guides, God provides, and there will be enough to take care of everything that God wants done. But there is that danger of praying to impress people or praying for people's sake. Now, quite often when I feel that I've really missed it in my message, you know, I've got a message that I want to give, and somehow when I'm come to the end of it, I'm at the end of my notes, and I think, oh, I didn't quite make it today. In my final prayer, I'll try and, you know, repeat my important points so that I can get one last lick in, you know, before you go home. And the prayer in that way is not really to God, it's to get the final points over again. And so you've got to be careful when you pray that I'm not praying to people or I'm not praying to impress people, but that my prayer is really directed to God. The second negative that Jesus gave us in prayer is that we aren't to use vain repetitions. Praying the same thing over and over and over again, more in a rote or in a memorized little prayer. Now, it's good to pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, you know, help me to be a good boy and bless everybody I love, amen. And it's all right to pray that night after night, but to think, well, I need to pray for 15 minutes tonight, so I repeat that over or 15 minutes, the same thing, that's vain repetition. Now, somehow, in our minds, we have connected efficacy in prayer to the length of the prayers. In other words, the Lord doesn't start listening until after 25 minutes, you know. So that we think that the longer we pray, the more effective the prayer is going to be. And thus, we throw in a lot of added junk in our prayers just so that we can have a long prayer. And say, oh, I spent an hour in prayer, you know, last night. As though the length of the prayer was the important thing. It isn't the length of the prayer that counts. Jesus said they think they'll be heard because they speak so much or they pray so long. It isn't the length of the prayer that the Lord is interested in. And if you have to go to vain repetition to make your prayer long, that it has no value. Now, we need to realize that when we pray, we are actually talking with God. And as I am talking with God, I should really be just as concerned that what I say makes sense as I am when I'm talking to you and I'm concerned that what I say makes sense. It's important that we engage our brain before we begin to talk. It's so easy in prayer to get into little stereotype phrases that we just use, and they're just stereotyped, and I don't even think about them. I just, you know, I'm going to pray now, and I've got this little stereotype thing I turn on in the brain, and my mouth starts to just, you know, say, oh, God, I love you. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God, I bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless God. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, and you go on, and it's you're not really thinking. You're not really talking to God as such, but you're just spending time. And in a sense, perhaps wasting your time and God's. You know, I am a busy person, much busier than I would like to be. I'm not really that ambitious, and therefore I don't appreciate being as busy as I am. And as busy as I am, there are always more things to be done that I just can't get to because there are not enough hours in the day to do all that is required of me or all that is demanded or all that I should be doing. I just don't have the time. My desk is always a royal mess with letters that need to be answered and callbacks that need to be made. And I just don't, there is just not enough time to do it all. And so I keep those letters that I should have answered for 6 months and then I throw them away. Because I just can't do it. It's just, there's just not the time. And there's one thing that just really drives me up the wall. And that is to get on the phone with someone and have them start to explain their situation to me. And instead of just getting right to the point, they start getting into a lot of non-essential details. And here I am thinking of all that I need to do, and they are going on and on and on and on and on with non-essential details. They haven't got to the point yet. And I think, oh, God, help me. There's so much I need to do. Lord, let them get to the point. What do they want? Now, Chuck, my Aunt Susie. Last Thursday. No. Let's see. I think it was Wednesday. Let's see. Was it Wednesday or was it Thursday? Could have been Thursday because I did go shopping that morning, but I went shopping Wednesday too. I'm really not sure. But about 8 o'clock in the morning, no, it wasn't 8, it was about 10 after 8, because the news had been on for a while. You know, I go mad, I just, whoo, can't take it. And I think that if I'm busy, surely God is much busier than I am. And we are just thinking, well, I've got to spend, 15 minutes in prayer. So I start getting into all the little details with God so I can stretch out what I need to talk to him about. Because after all, he doesn't listen until I'm there for 15 minutes, Jesus said, no, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen. They think that it's the length of the prayer that counts. That's not so. It's interesting to me how concise and how to the point are the prayers in the Bible. And I compare that with my own prayer life, and I realize that so many times in my own prayers, I'm not really direct. I'm not concise. So many times as I look at my prayers, I realize that I'm not really praying for the heart of the issue. I'm praying only for peripheral matters. My friend has a drinking problem. His wife is ready to leave him. He's about ready to lose his job. And so I'm praying for him. I don't want his family broken up. I don't want to see the guy go down the tubes. But I know if he continues drinking, that's what's going to happen. Oh, God, help him to stop drinking. Lord, take care of this drinking problem. Lord, put his family back together. God, help him, to really get serious on his job. Oh, Lord, just make him sick every time he takes a drink. Lord, and I go on and on. And so he quits drinking and he becomes a sober sinner instead of a drunk sinner. Well, he's really not very much better off. You see, his problem really isn't drinking. His problem is his relationship with God. And if I'm praying at the heart of the issue, I'll say, oh, God, help him, Lord, to get right with you. Help him to start walking with you. Because if he does that, the rest will all be taken care of. And so I'm getting now at the heart of the problem, not just praying about the symptoms or the peripherals.
how much time we spend in just praying about the peripheral issues rather than getting right to the heart and being concise in our prayer life. Paul the Apostle, read his prayers in Ephesians 1 and 3. Very concise, very to the point, very much to the very heart of the issue rather than going all around the place. He just goes right to the heart of it. And so Jesus said, don't use the vain repetitions. Isn't it tragic that people have taken the very model for prayer that he has given to us and use it in vain repetition in their prayer lives? You know, go out and do 50 Our Fathers. And so the very prayer that he gave us for a model, people use as a vain repetition. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. You know, you get to, man, you can wrap that thing through so fast. In order to get your 25 done, you know. And that's just vain repetition. That's exactly what Jesus is saying don't do. Don't use the vain repetition thinking that you're going to be heard because of your much speaking or because of the length of your prayers. For the Lord said, your Father knows what you need before you ever ask him. Prayer is not information time where I am going to inform God of all my needs. God has all the information about me already. He knows what I need even before I know what I need. Your Father knows what you have need of. So when you pray, this is how you should pray. And he gives to us a model of a very concise, to the point prayer that covers pretty much all the bases. And yet it can be repeated in less than 30 seconds. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. You see, the first key to prayer is relationship. If he is not your father, then you have no right to ask him for anything. Prayer is the privilege of the children of God. The blessed privilege to those who have become his children through their faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as believed him, to them gave he, or as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. So through Jesus Christ, we have become sons, and as a son of God, I have the privilege of coming now to my Father and saying, Dear Father, in heaven. Relationship. Essential for prayer. For if you do not have that relationship with him, then he is under no obligation to listen at all to your request. Through the prophets, God said to the people of Israel, You have turned your backs on me. You have been worshiping and serving other gods. Therefore, the next time you get in trouble, don't bother calling me because I won't even listen. I will not hear you. The next time you're in trouble, you just go ahead and call on those gods that you've been serving and let them help you if they can. But don't bother calling me because I'm not going to even listen to you. You see, prayer is the privilege of children, God's children, those that are walking in fellowship with him. What a blessed privilege that we can come to our Father and to lay out our problems. How blessed is it is that when we're in trouble, we can call upon him. And he said, I will hear and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things. To his children, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. But to those who have been worshiping other gods, he says, don't bother to call. I'm not going to listen. You call on the gods you've been serving. And if pleasure has been your god, and you've forsaken the true and the living God, walking after him and following after him, and your whole life has been geared around the thrill and ecstasy and sensational pleasures that you're seeking, hey, next time you get in trouble, call on your god and see what help they'll be able to give to you. Oh, Molech, God of pleasure. Help me, Lord. I'm in trouble, Molech. I'm going down the tube. Lift me, Molech. Don't bother calling upon God, the creator of the heaven and earth. Call on the God you've been serving. For unless you are a child of God, prayer is not even your privilege. The Lord said to the people through Isaiah, look, my hand is not short that I cannot reach out to help you. My ear isn't deaf that I cannot hear you when you cry. But your sin has separated you from me. Walking and living in sin, you've broken connection. You've alienated yourself from God. And therefore, you can't say, oh, Father. Relationship, it's so important in prayer. We had a dear saint here at Calvary Chapel in her 80s. That beautiful white-haired saint, Iva Newman. Oh, how I loved to hear her pray. I always felt a little guilty, like I was eavesdropping, because she just talked so directly to the Father. And I used to love to hear her say, oh, Father dear. And just that relationship that she had was so beautiful. Now, Father dear, and she'd go on. And it was just glorious to hear her because of that relationship that she had with God. That's the first thing in prayer. But secondly is recognition. I need to recognize the one that I'm talking to. When I pray, I'm talking to the God who has created the heaven and the earth and everything that is in them. I'm talking to a God who sees all things. Jesus said, your Father sees. I'm talking to a God who knows all things. He said, your Father knows. And as I am praying, to realize that I am praying to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, who is able to do far above what my particular need might be. Oh, how glorious to realize, my Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How glorious, marvelous, powerful is the name and the glory of the God that I am bringing my need before. Now, you see, if you're praying to man or if you're praying to me, I have such tremendous limitations that if you're praying to me, you're in big trouble. You may come and say, oh, Chuck, I need $5,000. And I say, you need what? I need $5,000. Oh, you need $5,000. Oh, man, I need 10. You know, so you're praying to me, you're in big trouble because of my limitations. But we can come to our Father in heaven and say, oh, Father, I'm in big trouble. I need $1,000,000 by Friday. No problem. Because of the greatness of the God that I'm calling upon, there's no limitations with him, only those that I place in my own mind. And so the recognition of the power and the ability of God. And so prayer is good in prayer to begin with a time of just meditation as I'm thinking upon God and the greatness of His power and of the glorious name of God, whereby He has expressed His willingness to be to me whatever my need might be. Hallowed be thy name, that glorious name by which God has expressed Himself in relationship to me. I have become whatever you might need, the becoming one. Now prayer moves from recognition into petition. As I begin to bring to God my request. But notice that the first request I bring to God are not requests of a personal nature. But the primary concern of my prayer is God's will being done. So the first petition is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And in that, we realize that the purpose of prayer is not to get our will accomplished. It's not to accomplish my desires or my wishes, but the purpose of prayer is to get God's will accomplished on this earth. Too many people are falsely thinking of God as some little genie popping out of a bottle, ready to fulfill your three whims and wishes, no matter how stupid they may be. And that somehow God is duty bound to bow and acquiesce to your commands or the demands that you are making of Him as you express to God exactly how you want things to be run. Not so. The purpose of prayer is not to accomplish and to fulfill your whims and wishes. The real purpose of prayer is to get God's will done on this rebelling planet Earth. So thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And that's the real thrust of prayer. And thus, prayer is the ability for me to come into a partnership with God in order that there might be the accomplishing of His purposes here on the earth. I join with God in His purpose. Lord, it's not what I will, it's what you will. Thy will be done in this earth, even as it is in heaven. Now, having then come from the larger petition, I come now to the more restricted, narrow petitions in which I bring to God my own needs. And there is nothing wrong with praying for your own needs. I think that it is totally hypocritical, and it is a false sense of humility, and it is spiritual pride for people to say, oh, I never like to bother God with any of my own personal needs, you know. And they get that angelic, stupid smile like, aren't I wonderful? Aren't I humble, you know? I don't bother God with my little needs, you know. Baloney, you fall down a well and see how personal your prayers get. And there's nothing wrong if I am not first ministered to by God, then I have nothing to minister to others. Paul said, that which I have received from the Lord, I also delivered unto you. And that is always the method of God. The husbandman must first be partaker of the fruit. Peter said, what I have, I will give unto you. But Paul said, you don't have anything but what you have received. Therefore, it is necessary that I first receive from God. Otherwise, I have nothing to impart to others. So there's nothing wrong, at all wrong, with bringing to God my own personal needs. And Jesus places four personal petitions in this prayer. The first petition involves my own provision. Give us this day our daily bread. And it is important that we have that daily bread. And there's nothing wrong with asking God to provide for our own personal needs. The second petition has to do with another important need in my own life, and that is forgiveness. And so the petition, forgive us our debts. How important that we experience that forgiveness from Him. The third petition deals with another important issue, and that's the guidance for my life. Lead me. Oh, how I need that God would guide my life in His path. Lead me. And the fourth of these personal petitions has to do with deliverance, and deliver me from evil. So, praying for the provisions, praying for the forgiveness, praying for the guidance, and praying finally for deliverance. These are personal needs that I bring before God because I need these things. And it is perfectly proper to ask God for these things. But having them presented, my personal petitions, I move back again into that area of recognition. For prayer moves in a cycle. It begins with God. It ends with God. It begins with a relationship and the recognition, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And then it ends with that recognition again. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Having brought my needs to God, my mind again reflects back on the greatness of God and on the ability of God and on the power of God and on the love of God and on the glory of God and on the grace of God. And here I am right in the middle of it all. So I realize that these things that I've brought to God are no problem for Him. Though they have presented to me an insurmountable difficulty, yet as I bring them to Him and I see them now in the perspective of His power and glory and grace and love, I find that my faith is raised and I just can rest. Now, Father, it's all in Your hands. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Inasmuch as prayer begins with relationship, some of you haven't even gotten to first base. A lot of people say, well, I prayed, but it didn't work. Who'd you pray to? I prayed to the Almighty God, the eternal creator of the universe. Oh, well. Are you sure He listened? You see, he doesn't owe you anything if you're not His child. Not even an audience. Whenever a person begins his prayer, oh, eternal God, Thou creator of the heaven and the earth, I think, wow, they're missing out in relationship. I much rather hear those saints say, oh, Father dear. You know there's relationship established, and God wants to have a relationship with you where you feel that closeness, that intimacy. As a child, you're coming to the Father. But that begins with your surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you this morning, go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to pray with you and to help you come into a relationship with God. Once the relationship is established, then prayer becomes your privilege from now on. As a child, the Father knows your needs. He sees the situations, and He will provide, and He will forgive, and He will deliver, and He will guide you in His path. May the Lord be with you and watch over and keep you through this week as the Lord ministers to you the things of His love and grace through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.